And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Just like that, we've hit the two-week mark of the new NHL regular season, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 3 Mailbag Edition. And trust me, judging by the mailbag questions today, impatience is brewing in the fantasy community. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, and Anadu with you. Pete, I won't lie, Frozen Frenzy was an overwhelming success for yours truly, but number two, I did sprinkle a bit of coin on Jack Hughes and win the Hart Trophy last night. This guy's on a different planet right now.
Absolutely. I mean, he took a step back last night. He only had 3 points, right? The guy's averaging almost 3 points per game, 2.83. Ridiculous stuff. 17 in six games. And Skip, of course, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Jack Hughes has been delivering left and right, Anna, and definitely ESPN delivered with the Frozen Frenzy the other night.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if the Devils showed up for more than one period in that game last night, I'm sure Jack Hughes would have hit the four-point mark. It's like a multi-point game night after night for this guy. I wouldn't even be shocked, to be honest, at this point, if he's like well over 120, 130, way up there this league this year in terms of points. So Hart Trophy, I've been saying it for weeks now, guys. Nick, you're late to the game.
Well, I took him in the fantasy draft in the preseason at 5, and now you look at it as like 4 different people, managers, half of the draft passed on this guy. So that's how you that's how things can change so quickly. Again, this time next week, he could be injured, could be in a slump. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen, but so far, so good for the Devils. And Toffoli, Nick, has popped off. That's one of your big guys from the offseason, man.
Yeah, contract year, Tyler Toffoli gets a hattie in Montreal. The hats rain down. Then he comes back with two more goals and whatever that was between Washington and the New Jersey Devils the other night on Wednesday night. Plus 500, by the way, is the value I got Hughes at. And I think it's so interesting because it reminds me a lot of last year's Stanley Cup playoffs where the only name and player people knew in the NHL was Matthew Tkachuk. Now it's Jack Hughes. So I want to see the response around the league. My boy Nathan MacKinnon's doing some great things with the Colorado Avalanche. We're going to talk about the undefeated teams as well. But yeah, when you look at New Jersey, they just showed us, they demonstrated on Wednesday night, Anna, how quickly they can erase a lead. Like it was 3-0. I look again, 1:51 later, and they score 3 goals. But Jack Hughes, again, he's just playing with so much confidence right now. I thought by far it was Luke Hughes' best game as a pro in that one, too. And then Toffoli's starting to score. And Meyer's getting going. Like, they're a scary team if they can get a save here.
They are. And we haven't even mentioned guys like Nico Hischier, Dawson Mercer, who, man, that guy's been a ghost so far this season. But he's still so young, so you got to give him a little bit of time to, like, find his legs this year. This team has so much power in their offense that, to be honest, Nick, I'm kind of disappointed with the way they performed so far. Like, it's been the Jack Hughes show, and then Tyler Toffoli recently got hot. But the record does not reflect how talented this team is. So you really wonder, like, if they have all of these assets, Pete, like, why are they not able to string together some wins here?
I mean, it's what Nick alluded to, right? The goaltending, 8th worst team save percentage in the league. You could say all you want that they might have the most loaded top 6 forward group in the league, but it doesn't go both ways for them. So I was curious to hear your thoughts. Do you think that Vanacek is done as the starter here? Do you think Schmid, you know, has a glimmer to break out here? Or are you just like fading these guys entirely? I know one fan question delivered by Skip said they have the Leafs goalies. I don't know if that includes Joseph Woll, because that would be lifting your save percentage a little bit these days with his big win on Tuesday and efficiency across the board. But like Samsonov and the Devils goalies, that's a problem in fantasy right now.
Joseph Woll, guys, we've been putting you on to Joseph Woll. So just shout out there right now. If you are listening to this podcast, you are probably pretty happy right now if you took our advice about that guy. But I feel like this season, Nick, and you can attest to this, goaltending has just been a disaster in fantasy. Not only the New Jersey Devils, but even teams like the Carolina Hurricanes. I was thrilled when I got like Frederick Anderson in the 12th round of a draft. I was like, how did he fall so far? Now I understand how he fell so far. That entire team's goaltending trio is in shambles. And I feel like a lot of fantasy owners are saying the same thing about who they have in net.
I heard this in a book long, long time ago, patience is a virtue. And every fantasy season, I exercise patience, albeit it's very, very difficult in the first month of the season. Look around the league. There's a couple guys who have been unbelievable, namely Jordan Binnington out of all goaltenders, not snapping, not throwing water bottles. Great to see in St. Louis. But I always go, I don't know if Pete, you're the same way or Anna, Like, I go in every fantasy season thinking my goaltenders are going to get lit up. Like, this year I drafted Hellebuck. I just knew he starts rough. You know, across the league, I think you can make a case for a lot of goalies, maybe not with Sandin, the ones in Boston, a couple others. But it just seems to be a very volatile position to begin with, but never mind the month of October. So I go in thinking my guys are going to get lit up, Pete.
No, it's true, man. It's a slippery slope at the goaltending position, and especially when you're looking at high danger save percentage, and that's something that's one of those new stats available on NHL.com Edge. So that was something I was looking at this morning. Thatcher Demko, by far the best, 972. Nobody else is even at 915. So maybe some regression coming for the Canucks just because how he's getting peppered. But we know Demko Anna is used to handling that type of a heavy workload and great opportunities coming his way. And he's usually, if he's healthy, able to get the most of those. And number two on the list, Akira Schmid. Number three, Joseph Woll. And also two other surprise names on that list, Jake Allen and Karel Vemelka. So no Shesterkin, no Ottinger, exactly. Right? No Sorokin. That's a crazy list right there.
I was just going to add two on the New Jersey front. Do you think they regret not trading for Connor Hellebuyck? Like, I don't even know if it was possible. But taking nothing away from Vanecek and Schmid, they're good goaltenders. I just don't know if they're going to be good enough for a team who has serious, serious aspirations of winning a Stanley Cup. And I sort of laughed watching the Ducks game the other day. I'm like, there's going to be a frenzy of its own for John Gibson at the deadline. Because I think Lucas Dostal is ready to take this number one job with Anaheim. He's been really, really good early on for that team. And I think we're getting closer and closer, you would have to think, to John Gibson being out there on the market again. I think there's going to be a lot of teams potentially involved on that type of goaltender, because I think there's a lot of teams who think they're legit right now.
Here we go with the John Gibson stuff. Here we go.
It's coming.
And let me see.
3 years running, right?
Yeah, John Gibson going to be traded. How many times are we going to hear it? The Devils look like the Oilers a few years ago, where the offense is just flying and the goaltending is not viable. Let's be honest here. Is it viable, Pete, for them to go all the way? I know it's a fantasy show, but when you watch the Devils, it's incredible. Up and down, Jack Hughes, players all over the place, and the goaltending is just not equipped to win games.
Well, I like Schmid more than Vanecek. Let me know if you agree with that, Anna, but in that high danger save percentage, you know, boosts his case there. But I agree. I don't consider, even when the Devils were like third and fourth in the odds board in the preseason, like, I didn't take them seriously. Hunter versus Hunted. Nick was talking about that. Goaltending issues. Still a very young team. I could see them getting maybe to the conference final at the max if the Metro doesn't have its stuff in order. But yeah, I don't see them making the Cup final this year.
There's some recency bias with the New Jersey Devils, guys. Like, let's just like roll back the clock and look at them last season. Heading into last season, no one had them making the postseason. They shock us all, have a great regular season. All of a sudden, we're like, whoa, this team is so dynamic. So heading into this year, we're like, they're going to win the Stanley Cup. No, like, it takes time for a team to be able to build up enough pieces and get everything they need to win a championship. And that starts with having like a whole team from top to bottom. And New Jersey has a lot of high-end talent. Most of that high-end talent is ridiculously young, Nick. And that doesn't necessarily convert to a postseason run the way it might take even a good regular season.
I would just add from that Devils Caps game, and this is no disrespect because he's a stud defenseman, Dougie Hamilton looked like he was playing in an all-star game. There was a couple blow-bys. They called a goal back on McMichael. It was tough. By the way, the voice you heard, no longer producer Bob Bender, it's Freddie Fourpack, right? We had to bring this up on the show because we concluded last show with Bob Bender sprinkling on a six-pack of picks from the Frozen Frenzy. But again, I mentioned, you're Freddie Fourpack.
Sharp cheddar, sharp. All right. That's what I am. I have a pick tonight that's very sharp. All right. I mean, we're talking about the sharpest Havarti you've ever had. I might as well just give it to you right
Havarti.
Now.
I love Havarti.
I might as well just give it to you right now. Havarti's not a very sharp cheese.
It's not a sharp cheese at all.
No. But I will say it rolls off the tongue. I didn't want to say cheddar, Havarti, right? It's delicious. If you haven't had it or if you've never heard about it.
Get it on Skip.
Yes.
Just order straight.
Get it delivered. Skip will deliver it to your door. I might as well just give my one pick. It's just a one pick here tonight. Love the price on the Minnesota Wild at Philadelphia. I think you can get them around, you know, minus 120 or so. I think if my memory serves me correct, I don't even know what the price is, to be honest with you, but I love Minnesota. Everyone flying high on the Flyers, excuse the pun. Love the Wild tonight. We all know how I feel about Bill Guerin.
Yeah, the Flyers just ruined me the other night. I had them over Vegas. We talked about it on the podcast, and then just Paul Cotter's like, it's my world, and we're all just living it. That was a filthy goal. Sort of took the shine off Mike Matheson's goal in Montreal. And one guy I would roster, actually, in DFS for that Minnesota-Philadelphia game, Joel Eriksson-Ek. He's off to an incredible start. We talked about this last week, too.
I love him. I think he's just playing phenomenal hockey right now. I think you could have gotten him very, very late in your drafts, and he's panning out so well. Tied for the lead in points on Minnesota right now with all of the big guys in Kaprizov and Matt Zuccarello. This team, I feel like, just flew under the radar. I think they're a very solid squad. I think they have a great, great set of guys in their top six. I think their blue line is where I get the most concerned, but then I'm looking at their goaltending tandem too, and based off of what we said earlier in the show, they have a little bit more security in my eyes there as well. So the Minnesota Wild are like going to be competitive night after night, and Joel Eriksson-Ek leading the way is really, really good for him right now, Nick.
I worry about that defense a little bit. They've had some weird games so far. I mean, to their credit, they knocked off the Oilers, who are a complete train wreck right now, and hopefully they get McDavid back for the Heritage Classic. He actually hasn't been ruled out for that, so we wanted to mention that. That's coming up this weekend against the Calgary Flames. Should be a great spectacle, whether or not he plays. But again, the Wild can play topsy-turvy, and then they can go ahead the next game and buckle down and beat you 2-0. They're super consistent. They're deep. They got guys that contribute that the casual hockey fan doesn't even know their name, but they're doing it night after night, and it makes a difference. That's why this team is always in the playoffs. They just got to get over the hump, finally, one of these years in the first round, right?
I wanted to spread some love for Ryan Hartman, who's centering that top line. And I actually had to go back to the game logs of Ryan Hartman's career to find out he's done this before, his second career 5-point game. He has like these random outbursts where you're like, wow, Ryan Hartman from 2 years ago is back. And then you find out he's played for pretty much the majority of the Central Division in his career, right? But I think these are those cheeky stories, of course, the attachment as well, Anna, to like a Kirill Kaprizov. Again, DFS, I would look at a guy like Hartman, especially coming off a 5-point game. Like, I think you have to look at somebody like that because he's been producing, and that's a great story to me.
It really is, and we actually got a fan question from our good friends over at Skip. One fan asked, is Couturier worth hanging on to for another week? The Flyers had such a hot start, Nick, to the season that I feel like he was the go-to guy and we were pumping his tires, but you just mentioned a guy like Ryan Hartman. Like, is that maybe someone you would rather pick up instead with great lineup placement on a way more solid team and better line mates than Couturier has right now?
I just look at Philadelphia. Again, you guys know this. I can't get to that level. Like, I'd be selling off on anybody who's done well on that team. Even Carter Hart's been a great story. I just don't think they're a very good team, and I think they're going to be a bottom five team, and I hope I'm wrong because I want to see them do well. But, like, they're both guys I'm adding and dumping within the next couple weeks. I'm sorry. Like, I can't look long-term. I know Couturier's back. I know we love the resume and the body of work and the start. But even a guy like Hartman, there's going to be a streak where he goes cold. They're going to have somebody else on that top line. It's just the way business is done. Those guys are interchangeable on your roster, I would say, Pete.
Right, and we got a lot of fan questions about buy low and sell high. It's that type of time of the year when you're a couple weeks in and you have, you know, your stock watch and stuff like that. And one really interesting one delivered by Skip was somebody sold high on Alex DeBrincat and got Matthew Tkachuk in return. I actually think that's really a nice trade on both sides of the equation. Matthew Tkachuk has the highest amount of shots this year among players still without a goal, so he's bound to bust through eventually. And then the other guy, you know, of course, you know, trades away DeBrincat at pretty much peak value, Nick.
Yeah, so that fantasy player actually messaged me to ask me about that. And I said, oof, like 2 weeks into the season, you're pulling something like that off. Having said that, Tkachuk's had a slow start predictably after a long run of the Stanley Cup final. I think it's a fair deal depending on what you need. Like, the goals are going to be there from both sides. The shots on goal are going to be there. I think you really have to hope for Detroit to continue along this path where, like, this year's New Jersey Devils, right? And the whole Batman and Robin thing they got going with Dylan Larkin and Alex DeBrincat. So I think it's a fair deal. Like, I don't know about you guys, and Anna, you can speak to this. Like, do you foresee a DeBrincat being in your top 25 all season long? If you do, then it's a fair trade for both sides.
I think he has the potential to be. It's just the Detroit Red Wings. It's too early for me to be 100% sold on this team. I know we put up a poll just last week, Pete and I did, on the NHL Fantasy Instagram account, and we asked like the fans whether you thought the Detroit Red Wings were going to make the postseason this year, and it was pretty much a 50-50 split almost, Nick. So not everyone is sold on them even making the playoffs, and if that happens, they're obviously going to have to slow down a little bit. They're off to a really, really good start. I don't know how long their goaltending holds up. I don't know how long these surprise guys like Joe Valino keep like scoring night after night. And once that production starts to fall a little bit and they play against competitive teams, there's so many competitive teams in this league this year that are off to a ridiculously slow start. And when they pick up the pace, there's only one puck to go around. I could see the Detroit Red Wings falling off a little bit. So I actually like that trade for Matthew Tkachuk. I feel like this is the time to pick him up.
Yeah, I think Tkachuk wins that trade just based on his 100-point pedigree the past couple of years, and just his floor is so high. I mean, the Detroit Red Wings could fall off a cliff any given game, and no one would be surprised at all, right? The Walmans and the Gostis Bears and the Comfers are eventually going to slow down. You might stream them right now. That's the beauty of a streaming spot, but you know, you're not going to have those guys on, those secondary guys from the Red Wings on your roster all year long.
I want to formally apologize to the audience for the radio professional Nick Alberga. I don't know if you're using a cough button or what, but
I'm
sneezing.
The mic button.
That didn't work there, pal. Oh, so I just want to apologize. I'm apologizing
on behalf of you to the audience.
Yes, we're sneezing and coughing
and
into the microphone. I mean, and he's a radio pro, people. He's a radio pro.
The mic mute button on this app we're using, and it didn't work. So technically, not my fault. But nevertheless, I apologize to everybody who had to hear me cough. It's been a tough, tough month and a half stretch. Three undefeated teams, guys. I wanted to ask you guys who you believed in the most. You got Colorado, you got Vegas, you got the Boston Bruins. We can sprinkle in some names that we're looking at in the waiver wire right now. They're stacking the top six in Colorado. Surprise, surprise. Lehkonen, MacKinnon, Nichushkin, Tatar. Johansson's off to a great start with Rantanen. Georgiev's been unbelievable. The Vegas Golden Knights have options in Chandler Stephenson. William Karlsson's got 7 points in seven games. Paul Cotter, that beauty the other night, 5 points in five games. And then you have Boston. Like, that's the biggest question for me, Anna. We'll start with you. Of those three teams, who do you believe in the most here?
I think Colorado has to be the answer. And if it's not Colorado, I'm really concerned about what you guys are thinking right now. But I will give Boston some credit. Vegas is the team that I actually think is going to fall off a little bit anytime here right now. I think they have a lot of guys who are performing really well. But when we're talking about William Karlsson and Paul Cotter right now, that means there's something going on in Vegas. Whereas for the Boston Bruins, I know we all expected them to take a step back, but we were talking about goalies earlier in this podcast, their goalie tandem. They're looking good. They're looking right where they were last season. And a good goalie can really anchor a team. And at the end of the day, they still have David Pastrnak. They still have Brad Marchand. These are guys who are going to perform night after night. And we look at teams like Edmonton and expect their big guys to carry their squad. Why don't we do the same for Boston and expect guys like Pastrnak and Marchand to carry this team?
I'm looking at Ryan Johansson right now, and I definitely echo what you're saying, Anna. He has been a home run pickup at a value contract, right, compared to what he was making in terms of AAV in Nashville. Number two center, first power play, back-to-back, multi-point games, nice offensive output for them against Ilya Sorokin the other night. Really, really impressive. Sorokin kept the Islanders in the game for a while, but it was just too much. The Avalanche eventually came down, and it wasn't pretty at the very end. So, yeah, I'm impressed by Colorado, and I'm still waiting for that rematch. I know the Avs won the Cup, but they didn't have to go through Vegas. I'm waiting for that rematch, guys, like from 3 years ago where the Golden Knights ripped the Avs' hearts out. I want to see these two teams play each other in the Western Conference Final this year. I know I picked Edmonton, but I'm a little down on them right now, so I want to see a rematch this year.
Already jumping on the Oilers, I see. I like it. I like it. But yeah, you guys know I pick Colorado to win my Stanley Cup. They've been so, so strong early on. 27 goals in six games. Ditto for Vegas, 27-7. No hangover for anybody who's been to Vegas. We all know that. But that's been a great story for me, considering, again, everything they went through last season to start the year the way they have and pretty much set NHL records, Bob. It's been pretty impressive, Freddie Fourpack.
I hate to pimp another league, but with the NBA getting underway.
What's that?
And I follow all leagues. You know, I'm a sports savant here, right? But you see Milwaukee and you see Boston on a collision course in the Eastern Conference in the NBA. I don't know how in the Western Conference you're not seeing a Vegas-Colorado collision course if everyone stays healthy, which is a huge question in the NHL, but I just, those two teams in the West are head and shoulders better than the rest, in my opinion.
I guess Canada's different because everybody in this country, I didn't pick them, but like people picked the Oilers. I guess we're just completely off the Oilers bandwagon, Bob. Is that how we go here?
The goaltending, like the Devils, yeah. Until they figure out the goaltending. And I don't like what I've seen defensively. I haven't liked anything from the Oilers thus far. And Skinner and Campbell are just not getting the job done. And I don't see them getting the job done when the calendar changes to November, December, January, February, March. It's the same old story with them.
You know what's funny about Edmonton? So I was watching a bit of TV the other day, and they were talking about the Oilers changed their system to match what Vegas did to them last year, and that's what's causing all this. But you're right. I just, Pete, wonder about this team, guys.
I'm not off on the Oilers. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I could still see the Oilers or the Stars picking off one of those two teams if injuries
Stars
mount. But
team.
I agree with Bobby. If they're healthy, those are the two teams. Sorry, Anna.
No worries. I have the Dallas Stars for my Western Conference team that makes the Stanley Cup final, and I'll double down on that. But we got to give some credit, since Nick brought up Canada, to the Vancouver Canucks, guys. I feel like they could be the biggest surprise team of this season. I like the way they've started off so far. They beat some solid squads. They had a ridiculous season opener back-to-back against the Edmonton Oilers, where they just were the reason the Oilers started off their year in shambles. And I like what I've been seeing. We talked about Thatcher Demko. Good goalies take you far. And this team has a lot of elite talent. They have Quinn Hughes. They have Pettersson. They have all of these guys, Kuzmenko. And I feel like they're a sneaky squad that might be like the biggest upset of the year if they can make it into the postseason.
Hey, I just hope friend of the podcast, Davey Satriano, has caught up on that sleep he lost going waiting up till 3 a.m. to pick up Brock Besser after his explosion opening night. That's a thing. Thatcher Demko is a guy I took a flyer on for the Vezina Trophy this season. I just don't know if it's sustainable. Having said that, Pete, we just talked about the Pacific Division. It seems to be wide open, right? Like, even the Los Angeles Kings have been up and down. Surprise, surprise, eh? The LA Kings can't get a save. They were legit in thinking Cam Talbot, Phoenix Copley. They got big save Dave behind those two, and they're going to win a Stanley Cup this year, supposedly.
Yeah, I was looking. They've been the best in the league at cashing in on their high-danger chances this year, they really do have a strong three-line group of players, even after the trade, sending Iafallo and Vilardi to Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. And Vilardi's, of course, now injured, and PLD's looking good. I mean, they have... I was expecting an upset the other day for the Coyotes, and they just kind of handled them. They were up early and often in that game. I was impressed by that from LA. So I worry about their goaltending a little bit, but LA's probably a shoe-in for the playoffs, and we're probably looking at another spot potentially available. Nice response by the Kraken the other day. But the Kraken are a fringe playoff team in the West now, in my opinion.
So delivered by Skip, and I agree with you. I think fade the Kraken's going to be the motto. Even though they came back frozen frenzy, they came back and beat the mighty Detroit Red Wings. So we sort of touched on it, but Edmonton's crease, delivered by Skip, tons of questions in the mailbag feed about what to do in the crease in Edmonton. I think my biggest advice right now is bench for now. I think take a wait-and-see approach. You have Jack Campbell, 1-3-0, 4.35, 877. Stuart Skinner, 0-1-1, 4-2-9, 8-1-4, 27 goals allowed in just 6 games. That's second worst just to Carolina, who expected the Canes to be in that conversation. But what's your advice, Anna, for fantasy owners who own either Skinner or Campbell? Run, probably, Forrest Gump style?
I say wait it out. I'm right there with you. I think just like give it a little bit more. It's not even November yet, guys. This is a team that when they turn around, their offense is just going to be so high powered that maybe it's going to cut their guys a little bit of slack. I'm actually more inclined to give the Carolina guys a little bit of leeway than Edmonton, though, if I had to debate between those two teams, just because Carolina is still allowing, like, by far, like, one of the fewest shots on goal per game in the entire NHL. Like, their team is ready to help these guys. They just need to string together a mediocre performance, and all of a sudden their goalies are going to be of value again. And they have so many guys injured right now. The injury bug has hit Carolina, and it's not going away. But when these guys started getting back into the lineup, like Aho, Svechnikov, list goes on and on and on, then Carolina's goalies are going to turn it around, I think, rather quickly. But Edmonton, I'm giving them probation, guys. Like, it's like a 2-week probation period, and after that, I'm done.
They're getting locked up.
It's funny. I was thinking about this. So, you know, McDavid is a Nickelback guy, right? That's what they're listening to in the locker room, I would presume. which NHL team is going to be the team listening to Creed and then turn its season around here? Because you're seeing it, right, in the Minnesota Vikings, the Texas Rangers are in the World Series. They have taken the sports world by storm, and nobody's talking about it on this show. So which NHL team is it going to be? I think it's going to be the Hurricanes, right?
Well, Peter, you're the only fan of Creed here on the show. Which
I was
going to
say,
I'm okay with that.
Creed is.
I'm not a big Creed
guy. You can't
guy.
Tell me it's not something.
Take me higher.
There you go.
I mean, come
are
on.
Are you saying Creed is better than Nickelback? Is that like the statement that you're making right now?
No, I'm saying an NHL team out there, whether it's the Hurricanes or somebody else, should start listening to this music. They'll find that they like it,
I
and it'll turn
Bieber.
Their season around.
Pete,
and
it's
I
not
think
gonna
the Hurricanes should do it.
It's not going to be the Hurricanes. Jordan Martinook was just on stage with Nickelback in Raleigh this
oh,
offseason. So
bummer.
I know for sure that they're playing Nickelback in their locker room as well right now.
And they're playing at the Heritage Classic coming up on Sunday. It's the Calgary yes. Flames, the Edmonton Oilers. Will we see McDavid? We won't see Rasmus Anderson.
It's a Nickelback concert, guys. There's some hockey sprinkled in there, too.
So to answer Pete's question, yes, we hope it is the Carolina Hurricanes who turn into Creed here. But there's a bunch of legitimate contenders in this league, but it seems like the same old theme. Like I specifically wrote this down because I wanted to shout out Jonas Johansson. I've ripped on this guy a billion times in my broadcasting career, and I apologize for that. No, I don't. He's not good. But a 3-0 shutout win against the Carolina Hurricanes, 32 saves. He made 48 stops against the Maple Leafs over the weekend. I would still tread carefully, but I think he deserves props, Pete Jensen.
Who was that you were saying? I'm sorry.
Jonas Johansson.
He's
Jonas
still thinking Johansson. About Creed.
Yeah, I was still thinking. I was still humming. I was in a different place right now. But anyways, no, Jonas Johansson has the most high-danger saves in the league so far. He's keeping them in some games. And yeah. Nice performance by Tampa the other day to just add to Carolina's woes, right? I mean, Carolina had a rough road trip, and it continued in Tampa the other night. And Tampa, I think we're finding that they're going to be able to hang around, even if they're 5-10 points back yep. of a playoff spot when Vasilevsky comes back in November or December. Like, this team's not going to go away quietly. So I've been impressed by them, and good on Braden Point also to get on the board. He's one of those guys that was without a goal. I would put together a parlay for Thursday or Saturday of some of these guys. We can run through the list who have yet to score a goal. Zibanejad, Matthew Tkachuk, a couple guys on the Flames like Kadri and Backlund, high shot volume guys. That's a good trend to look at right now.
Yeah, definitely. Some other guys I like quite a bit right now that are producing under the radar. Frank Vatrano has 5 goals in 5 games for the Ducks. Shane Gostisbehere, 9 points in 7 for Detroit. They're going with a 2D setting on the PP1 there with Sider and Gostisbehere. They've been outstanding. Evan Rodriguez is a guy we've popped quite a bit on this podcast. He's had a hot start, very versatile player. Nick Paul, 4 goals, 6 points, 7 yep. games played in Anna. Most importantly, he has eyebrows that can rival mine.
Yeah, he's your like NHL doppelganger, is he not? We had a fan question about whether to pick up Nick Paul. I feel like at this point, he's just worth like taking a risk on, and it's not even that yep. much of a risk because he's playing in the top six for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he has good line mates. He has good lineup position. He's going to get the points. He's really proven himself down there, found a good fit for himself in Tampa, and I like Nick Paul. I feel like every time we talk about this guy, there's nothing but good things for us to say.
I don't know about you. He's delivered to me. I wonder if he's delivered for people out there. Who delivered the most for you in fantasy hockey this week? It's time for the Delivery of the Week brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Pete, who do you have?
I'll go with Ryan Johansson. It's a reclamation project for the Colorado Avalanche, but a big upgrade at number 2 center compared to last year. Back-to-back multi-point games and playing on power play 1. A lot of buy low, sell high questions with him. I think he has staying power for the rest of the season.
For me, it's got to be Joel Eriksson Ek. We teed him up a little bit earlier on this show, tied for the lead in points on the Minnesota Wild this season, leads them in goals with 5, tied for the NHL lead in power play goals this season with 3. This guy's having a breakout season, and I could see it continuing the entire year.
I'm going with my guy, Alexander Georgiev, 6-0-0, 1.98, a 930, 1 shutout for the Colorado Avalanche. And I sprinkled a bit on the Vezina future for him. That's your Delivery of the Week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. There's nothing like 2 weeks into this season tapping yourself on the shoulder saying, hey, great job for your pick. I'm like so pumped about Jack Hughes. Like, he's going to win the Hart Trophy, and it's just over at plus 500, Pete.
Well, I mean, if McDavid misses a couple of weeks, right, that could close the gap. We didn't really talk about that impact, but it kind of like opens up some of
it's
those
huge.
Races that we thought were you know, hands down McDavid, maybe it'll make it interesting. And one of those questions, back to Johansson, I wanted to just mention.
Yeah.
So it was like sell high on Ryan Johansson for Carter Verhaeghe. I might make that trade. I like Verhaeghe coming back in that deal. The other one was should I drop Jonathan Huberdeau for Ryan Johansson? I might do that one because I'm a little sick and tired of the Flames and their lack of offense really over the past 2 years.
Who was the second one there? Was it Drouin? Or Johansson for who?
Johansson for Huberdeau.
Oh, okay.
For Jonathan. Yeah, so
I thought he said Drouin. I can't. I know people are like scared about Calgary and it's been a tough start. I like Huberdeau's a guy who's got such a ceiling still, even coming off a 55-point season, where I can't get to that level for Johansson. I think just know when you're picking up Johansson, yeah, he's shooting the puck right now, but he's not known for his shot volume. He's a playmaker. He's scoring goals. That's not going to continue. But as long as he's playing with some of those guys, like especially now, they're spreading the wealth and MacKinnon and Rantanen are apart. As long as Rantanen is playing with Johansson, I think he's a relevant fantasy option, but it's not like I'm jumping to go grab this guy. But certainly right now, Anna would do it.
I'm right there as well, but I just got to add this little tidbit. Since we're talking about the heart, we're talking about Huberdeau. Pete mentioned we had our in-person fantasy draft show on YouTube that you guys can go rewatch, and Pete picked up Jack Hughes, really happy about that. I just got to say, guys, last year when we did that show for the first time, our good friend of the podcast, Johnny Lazarus, took Jonathan Huberdeau in the first round, and he had such a ridiculously off year, completely fell off the mark. And this year, you know, we took Connor McDavid first overall, and look at where McDavid and the Oilers are right now. It's the Johnny Lazarus jinx, guys.
The Lazarus jinx. Curse. Hey, we need to next week. We'll go and we'll take a look the state of that league. Well, and
Pete,
you know,
and I won too, as expected.
Where people are. Hey, listen, I lied. I said I only had one pick tonight. I scanned the board more. as you guys were talking, and they're not extra sharp, but just based on the price movement and the situational spots, I like the Winnipeg Jets. I think Detroit is flying too close to the sun. I like the Jets, and Montreal is a bit of a mess. I like Columbus going into Montreal, and I'm just basing that on the line movement as well. I mean, the line is dropping a little bit, so some folks are taking Columbus. I like the Blue Jackets on the road, so I got a three-pack tonight, all right? There it is, Minnesota, Columbus, and Winnipeg. Mark it down. We'll keep the stats.
Keep an eye on for Columbus, just to back you up, Bobby. A couple of guys due for a goal. Johnny Gaudreau, 0-23 this season on shots on goal. And Kirill Marchenko, 0-19. Sounds like Line A is going to be out for a little while, but Fantilli is fire, and he's going to set up one of those two guys, maybe both of them tonight.
And I'm looking at the audience questions. A lot of folks are upset with Gaudreau, huh? I mean, this guy, what do you do with Johnny? What do you do with Johnny?
That's why don't draft the guy. We all know what Columbus does every year. I'm done talking about them. This is them.
He actually did have a good season, last year when
the
train went completely off the rails, right, for that team. Injury-wise, he was still like around a point per game, right? Wasn't it like 74 points in 80 games or something to that effect? He could still salvage his fantasy stock, even if the team doesn't improve, I guess, as much as we thought they would.
Here's a good one. So delivered by Skip, somebody actually messaged me to ask, would you trade Connor Bedard for Johnny Gaudreau?
No.
Anna?
No?
No. No. Why are you thinking about it?
Non-keeper.
Yeah, are you thinking about it?
No, still no.
I would think about it. There's nobody in Chicago. Like, they're calling goals bad. They can't even score one goal in a game. Like, I know I'm off on Bedard right away, but that 68.5 number, I think he's going to attain it, but I think Gaudreau is going to be in the same market.
No,
Nick's think he's
getting a little worried.
I am.
Nick's getting a little worried.
I watched those Hawks games. We're calling back goals on skate blades now. So,
and here's the other thing. Say goodbye to Connor Bedard's Calder trophy, because he's not winning that either. All right? That's not going to happen either. All right? He's going to go under the point total, and he's not winning the Calder. So mark it down. Hey, some DFS plays, and then can we wrap, please?
I was just going to say, too, I like your stance on Detroit, Winnipeg, and DFS looks. I like Michigan revenge angle. So Kyle Connor, maybe he scores the goal for the Winnipeg Jets. He's from Michigan. Connor Hellebuck, also from Michigan. So maybe you dress him in DFS. I was going to add, too, I like San Jose and Tampa. I like Tampa and regulation in that game. Mikey Asamont, former San Jose Shark. You want to look there. There's some value to go around. Sean Durzi revenge. I'm all over this. He didn't get a point the other night. The goal got called back. Surprise, surprise. He's going to pick up a point tonight. Another guy I would dress. At Mullet, it's Arizona and Los Angeles round two here.
I really like looking at some deeper cut guys in DFS, guys, specifically on tonight's slate. Boston's playing the Anaheim Ducks. I feel like that's a very heavily staggered matchup in Boston's favor. And a guy I'm looking at particularly is Morgan Geeky on the Boston Bruins second line. Has 3 points in his past three games. Maybe a guy to look at for just like getting some points on the board and assist or something. If Boston stays red hot, he might be a sneaky pickup there.
Hey, Anna, way to go out on the limb with Boston minus 322. Really, real special
guy,
pick
Morgan
of you.
Morgan Geeky is a guy no one is talking about ever.
He's playing with Matthew Potra, who's a goal-scoring machine, right? So maybe he'll get you a helper by accident. Potra, 3 goals, 7 shots on goal over his past 2 games. He's one of those rookie studs that maybe could creep into the Calder conversation if he eventually takes on a top-line role and plays with Pasta and Marchand, but... let's not get too ahead of ourselves right now, but there's at least that possibility for him to emerge as a dark horse here.
I like it. Quick correction. The Sean Durzi revenge game 2.0 is on Friday, not Thursday, Friday. So place that bet. I think I got St. Louis Vancouver over for some reason as well. So we're going to roll with that, Pete, to wrap here.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention again, Zibanejad without a goal on 19 shots. He's had 3-plus shots on goal in 5 straight games. He's probably going to score against the Oilers without McDavid and the leaky goaltending on Thursday night. And then for that Arizona game, another one to mention, more under the radar, Barrett Hayton is playing up top with Clayton Keller and Nick Schmaltz and has no points this season, but a good shot volume. So that's going to change. He'll get you a goal or a point in their next game, I'm sure.
Love it. Heritage Classic coming up on Sunday, then Monday. How about a response to that with the week 4 waiver wire edition of NHL Fantasy and Ice. So can't wait to talk to you then. Thanks to producer Bob Bender, a.k.a. Freddie Fourpack. For Pete Jensen and Anna Dua, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy and Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.